Welcome to the Finclusive Podcast, where we believe investing in diversity is not just good for society, but a competitive advantage that impact and return are not mutually exclusive. We talk with underestimated founders and funders on how they're creating new markets around the world.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're talking to Fionn, who is the co-founder of Fairly AI. Fionn has had many years of experience in computer science and enterprise software, and has recently started Fairly AI after going through Founder Institute, where she met her co-founder and launched her startup from Toronto in Canada. Yeah, Kelly, do you want to share a little bit about how you met Fionn?
So Fionn and I are both in this Ireland's mentoring program. We signed up for like a 1-year program, and it's like a group mentoring program. And I sort of like organized this thing to meet up with her. I mean, to meet up with like a whole group, but then she and I were like the only ones in the group. So I really got to know her, and I found out that she's not only an investor, but also a founder. And it's interesting how I really see out that we have a lot of similarities. It's like after she made some money, we were both immigrants, first of all, like after, and then later on, like after she made some money, we both sort of like went into yoga and like, or like do random stuff that like doesn't make money, but want to find ourselves. And yes, then for her, like
spiritual journey.
Yes. Yeah. And then for her, like for her to go to Founder Institute, actually even without an idea, just knowing that she would enjoy the startup space, I think it's really something. And I think it also goes to show a lot of time it's really the founder first, like you just really are investing in the person. And yeah, I just really liked her through speaking with her, and then later on finding out what she's done before. I still remember talking to Arlen about my own track record as an investor, and I asked her about, you know, her track record when she first got her check, and just reminded me of how, you know, Fionn is a first-time founder and she has no track record really. But then at the end of the day, it's your track record of what you've done in your life. So your track record is yourself, you know, it's not just how many, you know, startups have you invested in or how many startups have you exited. It's about, you know, all your life experience. So anyway, excited to talk to her today. Yeah, let's get started. Yay. So yeah, it's snowing in Toronto.
I know, it's end of May and it was 80 degrees last weekend.
Yeah. So welcome, Fionn. The first company that we invest in that is in Canada, in Toronto, and it's snowing over there.
Well, thanks for having me and thanks for that intro. Don't know what to say. Yes, it's end of May and we're still snowing in Toronto. But it's very unusual. I think this is like in recent memory, like that never happened. Seriously, not sure. But yeah, like Kelly and I met probably beginning of this year at Arlen's mentorship program circle.
She actually not only is a founder of Fairly AI, but also an investor as well, and lots of different experience. Do you want to tell us a bit about yourself too?
Sure. Yeah. So I was born in Hong Kong. My family and I moved to Canada when I was 12, and then I studied computer science and human biology in a university undergrad. And then my first job out of college was in a consulting company called Sapient. Back then we were the tagline was, we are the architects of future economy. And that was right before the internet bubble burst. Like Sapient was actually a pretty big deal back then. Like it was listed on a SP 500. There was a documentary called startup.com. You guys can look it up, where, you know, Sapient was featured as part of the story. It was a documentary about the whole internet rise and the bubble burst. If anyone's feeling nostalgic, they can watch that. But it's through the journey, right? Sometimes it's like, I feel like my life has been very fortunate as well as random. And it's really at Sapient where I had a mentor that says ATG is the hottest technology. You should try to get on a project that works with ATG. That technology. ATG is an e-commerce enterprise e-commerce platform software. So like I got into the first ADG project at Safient, which is for Boston Symphony Orchestra. They are a nonprofit based in Boston. And, you know, it was their the first ATG project at Safient. And from then on, I pretty much rode the ATG way for like 18 years. ATG back then was the number one e-commerce platform ranked by both Forrester and Gartner. Yeah, they had a lot of big name clients. And because it was such a hot technology and because of the time that I joined the company is right around when everything was starting to outsource to India. So I actually got, you know, sent to India to help open the Indian office and train all their developers on ATG.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How long were you in India for?
I was there for almost a year. And back then it was really like just when outsourcing was started. So like companies like Zapian was trying to figure it out. So I was staying at, you know, 5-star hotels and being driven to work in like Mercedes-Benz. Literally, I get driven. But like relatively, you know, I don't think that happens anymore, but like that was a very interesting experience for me. And like India itself was like just at the very initial stage of like, you know, being a high-tech powerhouse it became today. So I remember one morning when I was being driven to work that, you know, there's like all these women and boys digging on the roadside. And like right above them was a huge banner that says, building high-speed internet for your future. But like, it's such a contrast that I remember very vividly, or even it's like 20 years ago. It's like, wow, like, and that, I'm bringing that story because that is certainly something that, I see a lot of parallel in today's AI world. So fast forward, after I did ATG for 18 years, ATG was bought by Oracle for 2010 for $1 billion. After that, I started my consulting business doing ATG projects. The whole e-commerce space was considered enterprise 2.0. And by 2018, 2019, a lot of my clients were migrating off of ATG. So I was like, you know, ready to do something new. I traveled the world and, you know, did a lot of things that I thought I would enjoy doing, like, you know, volunteering at yoga studio and taking horseback riding lessons. But all those things kind of just stopped, like within 3 months, you know, the yoga studio that I was volunteering at got flooded and they had to shut down. And then the horseback riding ranch that I was taking lessons at, the owner ran away because she owed people money. So that got shut down. And then it was like the universe was trying to like tell me to do something new. Like,
don't do anything fun. Do something that make money.
Wow, so, that sounds amazing though. I want to learn horseback riding.
So like, no, honestly, and then like, it was one weekend that I was in town in Toronto and Techstars was doing a startup weekend. It's one of those where we go in and pitch an idea on Friday and, you know, form a team, work on the idea again and pitch to a final pitch on Sunday. And that's what really got me started on this current startup journey. I did a lot of reading on, you know, startups, what it means to be a startup founder, how to become, you know, successful founders, successful startups. And that's what led me to Founder Institute. It is a pre-seed accelerator program where mm-hmm. you don't really even need an idea to join. But I joined the program with two goals. One is I want to be a startup founder, but I know after all the reading that the chances of success is much higher if you have a co-founder. So I went into Founder Institute with the goal that I would find a co-founder. And then second is because I've had my consulting business, which was relatively successful. And I think Kelly and I also bonded on the fact that we both invest in real estate. Yeah. So like, yeah, so I made some money in real estate and stock market and my consulting business. So I was ready to like learn about the whole angel investing side of things because I felt like I have done enough public market investment and I figure out my strategy there. I have done late stage pre-IPO investments using like Equity Sand or like microventure type of platforms. So I really wanted to understand the whole early stage angel investment world. that's the other reason why I went into Founder Institute. I want to learn both sides of the startup ecosystem. So I have to say, I think I've accomplished like a lot of that in the last year, right? So mm-hmm. I met my co-founder in Founder Institute. We formed the company we incorporated April 30th, 2020. So it's just a little bit over a year.
Yeah. And then you guys were one of the top startups in Founder Institute as well. And you're right on about, you know, you're doing Founder Institute and also joined Arden's group also to learn more about investing as well too. And I know you're also in with other angel groups. So you're really from one end to the spectrum, like investing in real estate and then public market. Now you're like just doing and building and also investing all in the startup world. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, I think the other thing we can talk about is like we bonded over, or thanks for introducing me to Naval. Is that how you say his name? Naval.
Naval.
Right. This whole thing, the purpose of life is about like learning and seeing the truth. And that really resonated with me. I feel like my purpose right now is like, you know, to help people that I could help and also to keep learning in the process. And I really feel like by being a co-founder of Fairly AI, I see every day that I'm accomplishing that, right? It's given me a lot of hands-on experience on learning to build a startup as well as like executing some of like utilizing everything that I've learned in my life. I really do think that like both from the technical side, from the, you know, soft skill side, as well as my investment side. I feel like somehow the universe found my co-founder, David Van Buren, for me, and we are compatible. I did check his birth date and time to make sure we're compatible because if you think about startups, right, there's so many factors. And I was thinking, like, if there's a way that I could control the timing, control the factors that, you know, that are outside of our control, I would try it. And Chinese astrology, Baizi, for those who study Chinese astrology, like, that's what I used. And so far, it's been working. I mean, like Kelly said, we graduated from Founder Institute in the top 2% out of 45 companies in the world. And also, my son is like trying to bother me here.
Yes. Wow, that's amazing. I'm glad the stars aligned for you guys. Did you have the idea for Fairly AI before going to Founder Institute? Or if not, how did you formulate the idea with your co-founder?
Yeah, so the idea actually came from David, my co-founder. He has one AI startup exit under his belt. His previous startup was using NLP, natural language processing, to do cyberbullying detection on social media. He was the head data scientist, and then he was promoted to CEO, and then he became a board member. But it's through that journey where he see, you know, from the practitioner to, you know, the C-level executive, that there is really no oversight on what the data scientists are doing. And it's something that is hard to explain to people who are outside of the data science team. And that's where the idea of Fairly AI came in, is to really fill that gap between the technical data scientists and the non-technical business decision makers. And then the other thing is there's a lot of initiative, I think, that really helped propel Fairly in the last year. One is, you know, the whole awareness about diversity in the startup world, especially. I think that really pushed us to the forefront because part of Fairly's mission is to really bring diversity into the, you know, AI products and solutions, right? And then the other part is really, unfortunately, George Floyd and the whole Black Lives Matter movements. Like before George Floyd, we had to explain to people there's like, you know, fairness issue in your AI algorithms. But after George Floyd, everyone knew there's AI biases in the algorithms, and with IBM exiting the facial recognition technology.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. Yeah, you mentioned George Floyd and the recent awareness or willingness to address the bias AI technology. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how that in a way has kind of helped Fairly AI, right? And your product and marketing development processes.
Yeah, so before, as I was saying, before George Floyd, like we have to explain to people there's biases in your AI. And then after that, everyone knew because IBM exited facial recognition technology for policing, followed by Amazon and Microsoft. And then it's really, right, we were going out and talking to potential customers at conferences. And it was really the tier one banks and insurance companies that are really interested in addressing this issue because they know, you know, AI regulations are coming and banks and insurance are highly regulated industries, right? So that's how we found our initial message market fit, I would say. And how we so it's through, you know, talking to over 100 global head of AI, you know, head of risk, through our customer validation journeys that, you know, there's a lot of internal data scientists at these large financial companies that are just beginning to look at, you know, how to mitigate bias in AI algorithms. And we also talk to, you know, smaller companies that don't have that many resources, like AI startups, for example, where they, you know, start to be aware of these issues, but certainly they don't feel it's like a top of their priority list yet. So that's why we're, as a startup, we're right now having the most tractions in the tier one banks, to be honest with you. But we do believe it is a solution that, you know, anyone that's using AI should look at and is required. If not now, it will be, you know, when AI regulations is finally put in place. The European Commission has already came out with an AI regulations proposal in April, on April 21st this year. And it is the same governing body that came out with GDPR, which you may or may not know became like the gold standard for data privacy laws around the world. So everyone in the AI industry is expecting, you know, these AI regulations from EU will become the gold standard for AI regulations around the world.
Yeah, technology is always faster than how we want to regulate, right? Just like, you know, cars came out. I mean, just like, you know, from horse to cars, and then you have to like have traffic laws for cars, right? But then now it's even much, much quicker. I think technology is not the problem. We already have like flying cars and all that stuff, right? But how do you like regulate those things? But now it's AI is even much more prevalent. And I totally, when I know what you're learn of how, what Fairly AI is doing, it just, I mean, it's just, I'm surprised not more companies are doing that. And obviously we also found that there are other competitors that are in your space later as we're doing due diligence. So just wondering like how you think you're taking things a little differently comparing to your competitors.
So our main differentiation is that we are using an established model risk management framework from financial services that's been proven and extending it to AI versus, you know, a lot of our competitors are trying to come up with their own AI risk management framework from scratch and then asking, you know, companies to adopt. For anyone that has studied organizational behavior, like having an organization adopt a new process, new technology is harder than, you know, coming up with the technology itself, oftentimes at these like large organizations, right? So that's why we are having such traction at financial services company, because we are proposing a solution, bringing them a solution that actually is one that they understand and has can see that we can easily be integrated into their existing process and procedures.
Do you guys have influence or like try, or do you plan on participating in any of those regulatory organizations to help influence or shape? How do you guys follow up on these new laws that are coming out?
So just through prongs, we have partners who are in this space. And then our clients are actually on a lot of these boards. We have a few clients we're working with that, you know, sit in these forums, both in the US and UK. And they are the ones to tell us that all these regulations, they need tools to help them. They cannot do it on their own. And that's why they're interested in working with us, because they see certainly there's a need and a gap that we are filling. So that's from the client side. On the partner side, right? There's a lot of nonprofits right now that is, you know, trying to come up with their own AI ethics certificate or AI audit certificate. So because we are agnostic to, you know, which certificate will be the one that became, you know, the gold standard on that side, we work with a variety of partners in this field. Ultimately, we want to be the neutral party that provide, you know, evidence and tools that these companies require to, you know, demonstrate that they are doing bias mitigation correctly and that they are building responsible AI. So there's definitely a lot of different stakeholders and different players in the whole responsible AI ecosystem. But it is still a relatively nascent field. So there's a lot of opportunities. And this is going back to comparing to my e-commerce days. Like, it is really like, in a lot of ways, like the early days e-commerce space, where there's a lot of build versus buy conversation. Like right now, people don't know that they need an AI ethics and compliance solution necessarily. But back then, not everyone knew that they need a website or a shopping cart for their, you know, business either. I feel like in a lot of ways, that is the case.
Wow, that's amazing. You're definitely at the forefront of all of these technological changes, I guess, that we're going through. So I guess, where do you see Fairly AI in, say, like 5 years? And what are you hoping the scope would be and the client base?
We're definitely building a technology that has horizontal applications. So right now, our go-to-market is in financial services, but we definitely see that our technology can help solve issues in, you know, other highly regulated industry that is using AI for screening applications, right? Such as in education, healthcare, and hiring. And so we do hope to become one of the global international player in bringing responsible AI to all these different types of AI applications and companies.
And what are some of the barriers that you see, you know, as you work towards that goal?
Yeah, I think right now, going back to the fact that there's existing regulation in financial services that require them to do AI risk management. But outside of that, like, regulations are slowly, well, actually, depending on who you ask, some say it's actually coming very fast. All these AI regulations being proposed in US, the Federal Reserve Board and all the, you know, financial governing bodies in US are requesting for information about how they are using the AI technology. So like everyone feel like it's not a matter of if, it's when those regulations will be in place in US. But like I said, in Europe, they already came out with the proposal and they're expecting that to be implemented in the next 2 years or so. So the obstacle is if like these regulations are coming slower than expected, I think that would make us rethink our plan of like how we would want to grow our market. We may stay in financial services longer than initially planned, for example. But otherwise, like, I think something about like these AI fairness and bias issue is really that it's literally something that affects everyone, because AI is just so embedded in all the technology these days. So the awareness that, you know, there is biases in AI has really, really been a hot issue in the policy world, as well as in a lot of, you know, nonprofit, citizen grassroots type of organization forming, you know, AI organization to make sure even everyday citizens are aware of the harms in AI. Like, for people who are interested, there's certainly a lot of organization they can join, and you don't even need to have a technical background to join. So I would encourage anyone of your listener who are interested to just, you know, reach out to me or Rick Kelly, and we can provide more information about that. And then I think Coded Bias is a popular documentary that recently got released on Netflix. I think that also brought a lot of awareness to this issue as well.
Are you guys hiring? Because you guys just finished a round of fundraising. What are some of your needs from your hiring?
Yeah, we're always looking for people who are, you know, behind our mission and want to help build a startup, fast-growing startup. So we are looking for, you know, your full-stack developers, DevOps, data scientists, project managers, sales reps. So yeah, definitely reach out again.
Is your team currently like now?
We are a team of 7. We have developers, we have data scientists, we have me and my co-founder, and as well as our project manager.
Awesome. Thank you for your time today. I think our time is up, but is there any last thing that you want to share with us?
Well, I think I actually don't know who your audience is, but assuming they're in the startup world, like, I feel like Toronto, and that's where Fairly AI is based, Toronto has been a very hot startup scene lately. Like, I think we had like 7 unicorn that became unicorns in the last quarter. And like, has been a lot of exciting, you know, initiatives, both from the government to help fund startup, as well as, you know, because the whole thing about building a startup community is that there would be people who have like great exits and they want to put the money back into the startup community, right? So I feel like Toronto is at that stage where we're seeing a lot of that coming to fruition now.
All right. So what can we help you with from the audience from Inclusive, and where can we find you?
Sure. I know a lot of your audiences are startup founders. So if they are doing any AI, applied AI startups, I love to talk to them and have them reach out to me. They can reach out to me at fionn@fairly.ai. I would love to see if there's any way we can help with your AI bias debiasing medication. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. All right.
Thank you for having me.